Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. I'll be introducing my in-studio guest in just a few moments. But as we start off, we invite you to look with us in the book of Psalms. Psalm 139, beginning at verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there's not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You've hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God! Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, we thank you for the precious and the wonderful and the powerful gift of your word. Thank you for the opportunity we have of being able to open your word every single day and hear from you, hear from heaven, every day of our lives, that we'll simply take the time to turn on our cell phone to you, the word, and spend time with you. Lord, help us to grow in our understanding of the wonderful and the powerful place your word needs to have in our lives. Help us to fall in love afresh with your word. Help us to make it one of the high priorities of our day and our lifestyle to open your word and spend time one-on-one with you in your word daily. And help us as parents to be wise enough to teach and train our children to do the same thing, to spend significant time as they begin the day with you in the word. And Lord, help us to make it a lifestyle to teach and encourage others to do the same thing, knowing that as we do that, not only will we be carrying out the Great Commission, but we'll bless people all over the place by simply encouraging them to spend time with you in the Word. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Let me remind you about the upcoming outreach that you have the chance to be a part of. Operation Tank Full of Love is coming up this coming Saturday, September 17th. You can help Urban Family and American Family Radio and Air Corner Ministries reach out to those who defend our freedom. It's our opportunity to say thanks to those who've sacrificed so much in our military. On September 17th, Operation Tank Full of Love will bless soldiers serving at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, with free gas for their vehicles. Help us say thanks to the soldiers and families serving at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, and this is what you can do. You can help to contribute to help pay for the gas that will be given to them. Our goal this year is to serve 2,500 soldiers. Operation Tank Full of Love is a gift from the body of Christ and a great way to let them know how proud we are of them and how much we appreciate them. Donations for the fuel are needed to reach the goal, and 100% of that money that's donated will bless our troops with the fuel. To contribute or for more information, go to tankfulloflove.com online. Again, tankfulloflove.com, or you can donate by calling this number 1-877-968-3742. Again, that's 1-877-968-3742. Let me remind you also of these upcoming events that we have the privilege of providing as a ministry. Faith, Family, and Finance Town Hall Meetings, they take place with Dan Celia. Do you have financial questions that need answers? Questions like, what does the future hold for our economy? Or how should Christians prepare and respond? If these and other financial questions are on your mind, you can join Dan Celia, Riley Wildman, Davis, and Chelsea Wildman, and one of the upcoming Faith and Family at one of the upcoming Faith, Family, and Finance Town Hall Meetings. All the meeting times are 6:30 p.m. in the evening to 8:30, and you'll have opportunities to have your questions answered. All of the meetings are at no cost to you. To get more information, visit www.afafoundation.net. Again, that's www.afafoundation.net, or call 1-800-326-4543, extension 345. Again, 1-800-326-4543, extension 345. The locations and the dates for upcoming Faith, Family, and Finance Town Hall meetings include Mobile, Alabama, Thursday, September 15th. And, of course, that's this coming Thursday. That's at Norwood Church in Mobile, Alabama, 1501 Norwood Drive. Also in Huntsville, Alabama, Thursday, October 20th. The Town Hall meeting will be at Von Braun Center, East Hall, 700 Monroe Street in Huntsville, Alabama. And then on October 27th, in the Woodlands, Texas, you'll find the event at the Woodlands United Methodist Church, 2200 Lake Woodlands Drive, the Woodlands, Texas. And then on November 10th in Rogers, Arkansas, another town hall meeting will take place at Grace Baptist Church, 2409 West New Hope Road, Rogers, Arkansas. And then the last one for the year will be scheduled in Lafayette, Indiana, Thursday, November 17th at First Assembly of God, 108 Beck Lane, Lafayette, Indiana, 47909. Again, for more information, go to www.afafoundation.net or call 1-800-326-4543, extension 345. And let me remind every single listener that's listening today, if you're not reading your Bible every day, today is a great day, a very good day to start that habit. Because if you don't read the Word every day, you don't know what you're missing. You're missing out on so much. Remember this, the Bible's like a bottle of grace, and it's as if God's question to you every day is, how much do you want? When you spend time with the Word of God, God is pouring wisdom, knowledge, grace, joy, strength, and empowerment into your mind, your heart. You need it. I need it. We all need it. So again, one of the greatest blessings and favors you can do for yourself is start that habit of reading the Word every day. I like to encourage your goal reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible every day. For those that say, I'm too busy, I don't have time, well, let me give you the Greek word for that kind of excuse, baloney. We have time for what we want to do. So I want to encourage you, start that habit, and it'll bless you. And parents, help your children start reading the Word every day. It's pouring grace, peace, mind in their hearts as well. And remember this, there's nothing your children need more than the Word of God in their minds and their hearts. Help them to come and read out loud for you. It'll bless their socks off. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Today, we're blessed to have Dr. Alex McFarland with us here on the Hour of Intercession. Alex, good to see you today.
Well, Joseph, it's good to see you, my dear brother.
Good to have you once again. It's been a little while.
It's been too long. I've missed being with you, but I hear you, and I meet people all around the country that listen to the network, listen to Urban Family Talk and American Family Radio, and they say, Will and Mickey, do you know them? And Joseph Parker, do you know him? I say, yeah, they're awesome. Mm-hmm. But you said that Greek word baloney, mm-hmm. The Greek word balonami, mm-hmm. the official Greek word. But we have time for what we make time for, don't
That's
we?
That's right, we do.
And I just think about how much is accomplished when we really do set aside that time to pray. Mm-hmm. And I'm convicted because I'm kind of a busy guy. I like to get going. I like to see things happen. But then I come back to John 15:5, where Christ said, apart from me, you can do nothing.
That's right.
You know? And a lot of times in life, I've seen what Alex can do, and I get to the end of myself, and I think, Lord, I need to see what you can do.
That's right. That's right. You know, that's a great reminder, John 15, the importance of just abiding in the Lord. And we all have to remind each other. We really do, because the only one that's arrived is Jesus. And all the rest of us, we still have growing and learning. And none of us, we just all need to encourage each other and remind each other to stay in the Word, to pray. We must always pray for each other.
Yeah.
Because, again, it's always a journey, an ongoing journey.
Mm-hmm. And you know, the Lord loves us so much. I was on a plane, right many of us from AFR were coming yesterday from Washington, D.C. to Memphis. So we had been at a conference up there in Washington, and mm-hmm. we flew to Memphis, got a rental car, and came back to Tupelo.
Mm-hmm.
And we were on the plane and sat beside a lady, and just a dear Christian lady, and we were fellowshipping and talking, and she asked me to pray for her family, which we did. And I was just thinking about how the Lord loves every person so much,
mm-hmm.
even when we you know, wander away from Him or we blow it, He mm-hmm. still loves us.
That's
and He's
right.
not done with us. And isn't it good to know that God never throws us away, God never gives up on us. If we will turn to Him, He'll completely forgive us,
mm-hmm.
He'll completely give us a fresh start, and we serve the God who never, ever, ever, ever gives up on us. As long as we're willing to turn back to Him, He'll receive us with open arms.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, Alex, that's a great reminder of the truth from God's Word, that God tells us throughout the Word of God that people are precious to Him. And if we love God, we will grow to where more and more people will be precious to us as well. And, you know, I think of this in a passage that comes to my mind in relation to what you just shared. And it's so good for us as believers to understand this. We have to learn to live a lifestyle of taking time for people. We're all busy. We all have things to do, and we have lots of things on our agenda. But we need to learn by the grace of God to take time for people, because people need help all over the place. But I think of in John chapter 21, this chapter is, to me, is such a powerful chapter, the only one of the Gospels that contains this story. But it's the story of course, after Jesus' resurrection, He spends time with the disciples before He ascends specifically to heaven bodily. Well, here, you know, the passage where I'm just going to skim it real quick. But I'm going to ask you to comment on this. But John chapter 21, verse 15. So when they'd eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep."
Mm.
And, you know, of course, this whole chapter is so powerful in many ways. But this is a very unique part of the chapter and has so much insight. Would you comment, share your thoughts on that?
Well, one of the things that passage has always said to me is that if we love the Lord, we're going to love people.
That's right.
And part of being Christ's representatives here on earth is that we're willing to invest ourselves in other people. You know, He told us to love our neighbor. And really, loving your neighbor, biblically, love is the commitment to meet the needs of another person.
Mm-hmm.
Love is to seek the highest good of another person. And love is not just a feeling or an emotion. When I talk to youth groups, I often ask, you know, define love for me. And most mm-hmm. of the times, you know, teenagers will say something like, "Well, it's how I feel when I'm with my girlfriend, mm-hmm. how I feel." But really, love is an action word, isn't it?
It is.
And when Christ told Peter, you know, "Feed my sheep," when Christ said, "Take up the cross, lay down your life," that's love.
We're going to jump in here. I want you to pick up right there on the other side. You're listening to The Hour of Intercession. Our in-studio guest is Dr. Alex McFarland. We'll be right back after this break.
I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. What are gates? They are defensive tools used to keep stuff out, to keep an advancing force at bay. Too often, the enemy is successful in putting Christians on defense, when the facts are the Lord established His church as an aggressive, offensive, territory-taking body. The Lord never meant for us to sit on the sidelines of life or to cower in the corner as a result of the wickedness in our culture. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. The light of the world cannot be contained. The Lord is building his church, and the mamby-pamby gates of hell shall not prevail against us.
Visit the Hamilton Corner on the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
God has allowed me to have many friends who are in various entertainment industries. One of the things that is a common denominator for all of them is that they can't forget their godly upbringing. They remember their days of being at church every time the door opened. But there are a few of them who struggle with using their gifts to build up the kingdom or continuing a secular flow. One of the things that is undeniable is the call of God on your life. No matter where you go or what you do, you will know when God calls you. It's not going to be something that you can deny or argue, or in many cases, even run from. So I'll say this, don't continue to pretend as though you don't feel the tug or hear the call. Answer the call. Doing so will set your eternal destiny on a different course, and you'll be surprised at the peace that comes from giving God a yes. Is he calling you? With a heart for the Urban Family, I'm today's Urban Woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
Are you aware many men struggle in the aftermath of abortion? According to research, 8% of men are seriously damaged emotionally. This means nearly 5 million men are walking wounded, with millions more affected to lesser degrees. We have a website to help these hurting fathers. MenAndAbortion.net can refer a man to free peer-to-peer counselors anywhere in the nation. There are videos and books, healing Bible studies, research, and more. Men need to know they're not alone and there's help for them. MenAndAbortion.net is the place for them to begin their journey back to wholeness. Please pray more hurting fathers of aborted babies will reach out and connect with the help they need. Once again, the address is MenAndAbortion.net.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Music of BB and CC Winans, the song I Owe You Me. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, This is Pastor Joseph Parker. Our in-studio guest today is Dr. Alex McFarland. And Alex, you were sharing some insight about John chapter 21. Would you pick up where you left off there?
Well, I've always thought that was just such a precious passage when Jesus told Peter, you know, feed my lambs. Mm-hmm. And for one thing, that the Lord would call us lambs, very tender, you know, we're his mm-hmm. followers, and he's the good shepherd, and we are to follow him. But God raises up leaders, and I think one of the first criteria for being a Christian leader is love. Mm-hmm. If you love me, then serve the body, love the body, lay down your agenda and care for the body. And so if we really love Christ, we're going to love the body of Christ, which That's is right. the church. Mm-hmm. You know, Joseph, I've got to tell you, I've been so blessed as an evangelist and speaker and youth event organizer and a representative for American Family Association to travel. I love the church. Mm-hmm. And I've been so blessed to be all over this country in churches, urban, rural, big city, small town, East Coast, West Coast, Midwest, I mean, you name it. Mm-hmm. In 20 years, more than 1,700 churches. And what is so cool is, like, you can go somewhere, total strangers. You've never met them before, but it's like family. It's like mm-hmm. a dear old friend because you've got Jesus in common.
That's right.
And, you know, mm-hmm. Psychologists tell us one of the big issues nowadays is loneliness. People are lonely. Well, my friends, I would say if you want to overcome loneliness, if you want to feel like you belong and you want to just get involved in a group of folks that will shower you with love and you will belong to a family, get in God's family.
That's right.
And when you've got Jesus, you've got family scattered around everywhere.
Just all over the world.
Isn't that cool?
That's neat.
And
that's neat.
So Christ was telling Peter, you know, feed my sheep. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways that our love for Jesus is validated, mm-hmm. proven, is that we are going to love the body. And that's really also the pathway to joy, too. Speaking of psychology, I'm working on a book, and I've been reading some different journals. Mm-hmm. Some of the most unhappy people are narcissistic, mm-hmm. that it's self-absorbed. It's all mm-hmm. about me. The path to sadness is to really be selfish. Mm-hmm. The path to joy is forget about yourself mm-hmm. and get involved in caring more about others. Mm-hmm. And the happiest people I know, the people that are most joyful, are the ones that love the Lord and love other people.
That's right. That's right. You know, I think of, too, in relation to that passage, interesting the fact that this interaction, of course, Jesus is encouraging Peter, but also kind of restoring Peter. You know, he denied yeah. him three times, and he allows right. him to respond, that expresses love to the Lord three times as well. But, you know, I think of, too, interesting reality that's going on in the conversation. Peter, it's like he seems to feel a little disturbed that Jesus would ask him, do you love me? Kind of like, Lord, you know that's a given. You know. And it's like Peter's thinking, the first time, Lord, I love you. Second time, Lord, I love you. And finally, it's like, Lord, you really need to understand. I mean, I feel bad you even asking me, you know. He's trying to convince him with his words that I love you. And Jesus is telling him, it's like, it kind of seems to me like Jesus is saying, Peter, it's not your words.
Don't tell
me. It's
what
are you doing?
Don't tell me. Show me.
That's right. That's right.
You know, speaking about our redemptive God, mm-hmm. and because look, you know, we all sin. We're sinners. Mm-hmm. Even as a born-again believer, people stumble and sin, and that's why 1 John 1:9 says, confess our sins and turn away. Mm-hmm. I love it, the tender heart of God. Mark 16 is one of the resurrection accounts when mm-hmm. Christ rose from the dead, the tomb was empty. Okay, the last time we had seen Peter, he was denying that he knew the Lord and even said a bad word. Mm-hmm. Says he cursed. And he said, I don't know. The angel tells the
like
women.
Like a lot of folks these days.
Yeah. The angel says, you know, he's not here. He's risen as he said. See the place where he lay. Go tell the disciples mm-hmm. and Peter mm-hmm. that he is risen and he'll meet you in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. I thought it was so tender. The mm-hmm. angel, Peter had blown it. Mm-hmm. But the angel said, hey, just a word. God's not done with Peter. Go, mm-hmm. go tell the disciples. And don't forget
Peter.
Don't leave out Peter. Mm-hmm. And yes, Peter got restored. And the one that denied he knew Jesus, cursed about it, in only a matter of weeks was preaching at Pentecost.
That's right.
And 3,000 plus got saved. The good news for all of us is, look, you might blow it. Your heart might grow cold. You might fall away from God and drift away a little bit. God says, hey, I'm right here. I'm as close by as a prayer. Turn back to me. All will be forgiven, and God will restore you. And everyone listening here, if you need that fresh touch from Jesus, he is as close by as a prayer right now today, if you'll turn to him.
That's right. Would you take time now to pray for our listeners, whatever's on your heart, to lift them up in prayer about?
All right, let's do. Let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for who you are, that you are the eternal God, the risen Lord, the one who paid our debt on the cross. You paid all of our sin debt. And Lord, you're the one who hears our prayers. You walk with us. Even before we're delivered out of our mother's womb and before we're born, you know about us. And all through life, you whisper and you call out to us. And Lord, we just thank you for who you are. And right now, I lift up this great big family, this listening audience, Pastor Joseph, who ministers to his flock so well every day. And Lord, to everyone listening right now, I pray, number one, that we would love you. And number two, that we would diligently hear you. And Lord, that we would be attentive to your spirit. Lord, we would read your word. And Lord, for anyone here who's maybe kind of feeling not so chipper today, and they're kind of blue. There's stresses, there's burdens, there's family concerns. And Lord, maybe even there's sin. I ask that the Holy Spirit of God right now would turn us back to Jesus. And Lord, whatever the sin might be, Lord, reveal to us the things in our life that are displeasing to you. Reveal to us the things that we need to let go of. And Lord, you give us the strength to do that. And Lord Jesus, anything you want to do, Lord, I pray that you would order our lives and structure our life so that we would be what you want us to be. So cleanse us and use us as you see fit. For your glory, we pray, Christ. Amen.
Amen. And Father, I too thank you. Thank you for every person listening, and thank you for the opportunity you give us to be able to come to know you as Lord and Savior, and to be able to love with the same love that you love us with by the power of your Spirit. Lord, help us to recognize that the best life we can possibly live is a life where we are vessels that we're just available to you every day to be used by you to accomplish your will in the world. And Lord, help us to grow in our knowledge of the fact that you desperately love everyone. You desperately love people, and that people are precious to you.
Yes.
Help us to grow so that more and more we live in such a way that we love people with the same kind of love with which you love them, that we love people deeply, and it translates itself in action, not just in words, but in the way we live, the way we bless others, the way we reach out to the others, the way we pray and minister to others as vessels in your hands. Thank you for the opportunity to love people like you love them, because your love at work in and through our lives. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Alex, just further as it relates to this particular chapter, you know, again, there's so much in John chapter 21. And, you know, one of the issues in the chapter is that much of the chapter is about eating. It's about food. You know, well, you know, it starts out, the disciples, they're hungry. And they say to each other, well, I'm hungry, let's go fishing. They go out fishing, fish all night. They're professionals. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Don't catch a thing. Of course, they fish at night. Of course, that's what they did at that time. Don't catch a thing. The next morning, they see someone on the shore. They say, children, do you have any food? Now, I kind of think they might have thought to themselves, now, who is this calling us children? We're professional fishermen. We didn't catch anything, but we're professionals.
Yeah.
And he's calling us children. And they don't know who he is. But he says, throw some on the right side and you'll find some. And I can imagine they're probably thinking again, now, wait, we're professional. Who is this trying to tell us how to fish? We know how to fish. We haven't caught anything, but we know how to fish. But at the same time, they realize they hadn't caught anything. What would it hurt? You know, so they've, and Peter's probably thinking in the back of his mind, the last time somebody told me how to fish, I caught a boatload of fish. Let's try it. They throw it on the other side. Net full of fish.
153 fish, don't they?
153. And all of a sudden, they realize in a moment's time, that's God. That's Jesus.
Amen.
And Peter jumps in the water headed towards the Lord. But the beauty is this, again, when they bring the fish to shore, breakfast is ready. Jesus doesn't even need their fish. It's already cooked. Probably the best fish dinner they've ever had, cooked by Jesus himself.
Isn't that amazing? I've often thought about that because I love fish. I really do. And I think this is also in Luke 24, they have breakfast on the beach. Can you imagine, folks? Now, one of the things, now remember, Christ is in his resurrected body. He is risen from the grave. So every now and then people will ask us, what's it going to be like after we die and for saved people? Will there be food in heaven? I believe there will. Because here Jesus is in his resurrected form, and he cooks and eats.
And he ate fish.
He did. So, I think we'll have food in heaven. And as you said, I guarantee that was the best plate of fish that's ever been prepared in the history of the world.
Best two-piece fish dinner they've ever had.
Because it was cooked by Jesus.
And you know, I think of two that like, so they start out at the beginning of the chapter, they're hungry. Well, when they get to shore, their hunger is satisfied. But you know, something that, Alex, that's so powerful to me, in King James, the King James Version, I like that translation the best as it relates to this story. Because when he invites him to breakfast, he says, his words are, come and dine.
Yes.
His words are, come and dine. And of course, he's inviting them to breakfast, but it's so much more than that.
Right.
He's also inviting them, come and dine on my word. And you know,
Amen.
As believers, we snack and nibble on the word when God, every day of our life, his invitation is, come and dine.
Right.
There's so much blessing and strength and power to be found every day that we take time in the Word.
Oh, exactly. And the Bible, the Word of God, is not a pack of crackers. It's a banquet.
That's right.
Isn't it?
That's right.
you know, when, like you said, when you think of like snack, you, maybe you know, grab a handful of something on the run, but to dine is to experience something. And there's not just the nutrition that happens at a banquet, but there's the fellowship and the interaction. Whenever you go to a fine dinner, and throughout the year, whether it's, you know, the family reunion or Thanksgiving or a dinner like we had the AFA dinner the other night up in Washington, and it was an affair that you kind of think about for a month after it. Jesus is inviting us every day to commune with him, to dine, to feast on the Word. One of the verses you and I have talked about that I so dearly love is Psalm 119, verse 93. It says, I will never forget thy words, for through them I found life. The scriptures. In the scriptures, we learn that we're sinners and we need to be forgiven. In the scripture, we learn of a Savior who so loved the world that he gave his life. In the scriptures, we learn that we turn to him and all is forgiven. In the scriptures, we learn that he's with us and he will never leave or forsake us. So this is the meat that daily we must dine on if we're going to be strong in the Lord, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, Alex, that's such a powerful point that when you dine, it's an experience. It's not just eating food. It's an experience to be remembered, an experience that'll bless you and it'll affect you far beyond just eating food. And, you know, that the reality is, as you just pointed out so powerful, there's so many things God's Word does for us. It teaches us, it informs us, it gives us knowledge, but also God's Word is joy, it's peace, it's power, it's strength. And we really do need that. We really do need that. Now, we tend, you know, as believers, we foolishly sometimes come to the conclusion that, well, oh, I'm okay, I manage, I'm strong myself, I'm wise. We need so much help. You know, God does refer to us as children and as sheep, and that's not an insult. It's a reality. We need a lot of help. And just like sheep are vulnerable animals that need a lot of help in so many ways, that's who we are as human beings. And so it's just a reality.
Amen.
But we'll pick up there on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our in-studio guest is Dr. Alex McFarland. He's one of the hosts, along with Pastor Bert Harper, of Exploring the Word. We'll be right back.
Who is today's urban woman?
Today's urban woman is about empowering herself, empowering her family to empower our future. We have a wealth of opportunities here in America. There are no excuses. Everyone should be able to empower themselves, educate themselves, and be stewards of our society. Today's urban woman, here to stay, and we're moving forward, never looking backward. I'm Deneen Borelli, and I am today's urban woman.
Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day, Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk.
On the first day of our tour of Israel, we will stand on the Mount of Olives and look out over the old city of Jerusalem. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. March 9 through 17, we'll be going to Israel, the Holy Land. This is 2017, of course. We'll be flying from New York City, JFK Airport, direct to Tel Aviv, and then we'll begin our 9-day tour of Israel, including Jerusalem, Bethlehem, Jericho, Tiberias, Nazareth, the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, and all the places you've read about since you were a child in the Bible. For more information on this tour, you can order a brochure by calling us at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5. Also, you can visit the website twholyland.com.
Many women describe their husbands as being very romantic until the wedding day. After that, well, not so much. But Dr. Tony Evans says those men have it backwards. He explains how a man is supposed to love his wife as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Most men date in order to marry, when the biblical principle is marry in order to date. Most men turn her on in order to get her to say I do, when the biblical idea is have her say I do so I can spend the rest of my life turning her on. If you want to raise the question, are you a lover? And every man likes to think of himself as a lover. But the measuring rod as a lover can only be measured by the size of the cross you're carrying. Husbands, love your wife like Christ loved the church. He loved the church to death. You're going to have to decide that I am willing to pay whatever price of inconvenience in order to get to where she ought to be. You're going to have to decide that I am willing to commit myself to her fulfillment no matter what pain is involved in that. I am willing to go the distance to turn her from where she is into where she ought to be. That's a high price to pay. But it's the price tag of love.
Learn more about how a godly man can change his wife, his family, his church, even his world. Request a copy of Dr. Evans' best-selling book, Kingdom Man, for yourself, your brother, uncle, husband, father, teenage son, or your church study group. Visit us at tonyevans.org and click on the link that says Making Kingdom Men. That's tonyevans.org. Then join us next time as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Forever Jones, the song Hallelujah. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We're grateful to have as our in-studio guest today, Dr. Alex McFarland. Alex is an evangelist. He's one of the hosts of Exploring the Word, and he actually wears a bunch more hats beside that, but he'd take up the rest of the program probably to tell you all the hats that he wears. But Alex, in our last segment, real quickly, you know, as we finish off addressing this passage, you know, again, much of the, as I mentioned earlier, much of the passage is about eating, but not just eating physical food, but eating the Word. And
that's right.
You know, Jesus' challenge to Peter, to feed my sheep, he's wanting to encourage us to know that if we love God, we're going to teach people to feed on the Word of God.
That's true. And do you know what? Maybe some listeners might not think of themselves in this way, but you might be the discipler God uses to really bring along someone not only to a relationship with Christ, but in their own walk and witness. You know, the Bible talks about iron sharpening iron, so a man is sharpened by the countenance of his friends. Joseph, I never, ever would have believed that I would be a preacher or a discipler or a role model, really. I mean, when I came to Christ at age 21, I mean, I was very shy, very timid. Never would have dreamed that I would sit down at a microphone and talk to people as God has me doing. But, you know, how God prepares us for things we don't know about. And we need to remember that we're stewards.
That's right.
Our time is not really our own. Our influence and our abilities don't really belong to us. They belong to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 says that we're not our own. So I would challenge everybody to remember that you are, if you're willing, you're a tool in the hand of the Master.
And if,
to be used, you have to be usable. To be used, you have to be usable. Turning away from sin, really staying tight with Jesus, confessing your sins. And we know what those are. 1 John 2:27, the Holy Spirit that abides in you remains and will show you all things. So when there's something in our life displeasing to God, we know that. I mean, we play a game, we beat around the bush. But so turning away from sin, walking closely with Christ, praying. But here's the thing is the nutrition of the Word.
That's right.
A top athlete, we just this summer saw the Olympics. Did you watch much of the Olympics? Some of the
little bit here and there.
A little bit. Well, those athletes, nutrition is every bit as much a key as hitting the gym and working out. For the Christian, the vitamins, the nutrients, the meat, the nutrition, it's called the Word of God, isn't it?
That's right.
And if
you
love Christ, the living Word, you're going to love Scripture, the written Word.
That's right. And His Word is critical to everything. And I think of this, that like as believers, it's important for us to know that in obedience to helping to be a part of the great, carrying out the Great Commission, we not only need to have that habit of reading and consuming the Word, but we need to have the habit of teaching and challenging others to do the same. Because when, and I would encourage every single listener, make it your goal. And in fact, ask God to help you to have a lifestyle of challenging others to get into the Word of God. Because at least in our culture, most everybody has Bibles, but so many people don't read them. They don't read them consistently. They read them not on a regular basis and miss out on so much, because anyone that doesn't read the Word consistently is missing out on so much in their walk with God.
You know what I do? I travel quite a bit, and I'm in hotel rooms a lot. And 99% of hotel rooms have the Gideon Bible in the nightstand, which is a wonderful thing. I always get it out because I don't want that Gideon Bible to be lonely. I don't know if the Gideon Bible sees much action, you know. So I'll always get it out and read it, and I always say a prayer. And I'm like, Lord, whoever stays in this hotel room, draw them like a magnet. Let them see this Bible. Let them open it up and read it. And so you're right. The Bible is a widely sold book, but I'm not sure it's a widely read book. You can go into stores everywhere, and there's Bibles galore. But we want to make sure that we're reading the Word of God, not just purchasing a copy to decorate the coffee table.
That's right. Alex, in the last few minutes of our broadcast, I want to ask you to address some things that are on your heart today that you want to share with our listeners.
Well, bless you, brother. Well, we are so privileged to have power in Christ. We need to remember who we are in Jesus, and that as children of the King, sons and daughters of the King. Our name is written in His book. Our home is in heaven. The Spirit indwells us. We actually have power. Mm-hmm. And it grieves me that the Christian, many Christians live a powerless life. And one of the things, because look, every one of us, we've got loved ones that need Christ. We've got financial needs. Maybe we have health needs. We've got our own personal walk and witness. We need strong marriages. We need our churches to have the favor and hand of God. We need our nation. We need a move of the Lord in this country. Mm-hmm. So suffice it to say, we got a whole lot we need from the Lord. I want to encourage everybody listening to be a person of prayer, but maybe even consider fasting and prayer. There's so much we could say, but in Isaiah 58, verses 5 through 8, the Lord talks about humbling ourselves, fasting, and praying. And, you know, fasting is to abstain from food. And when your tummy growls and you have a hunger pang, well, you, instead of eating, you think about Jesus and you pray. And I'm going to go very quickly, but there's some things in Isaiah 58, 5 through 8. It says, if you will fast and pray, humble yourself, I will, listen to this, loose the bonds of wickedness, undo the straps of yoke, let the oppressed go free, break every yoke. There's several things going on here. The removal of spiritual darkness, the provision of physical deliverance, the increase in corporate freedom and liberty, and the impartation of personal blessing. Hmm. Now, if we will fast and pray, there's spiritual darkness, there's deliverance, there's corporate liberty, there's personal blessing, and then finally there's cultural change. Because it says, is it not that you will share your bread with the hungry, you'll bring the homeless poor into your house, you'll see the naked and cover him, and your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily, your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard.
That's Isaiah 58.
Isaiah 58, 5 through 8. So there's humility, there's fasting, there's prayer. But I want to tell you, in our country, we need spiritual darkness abolished. We need deliverance on a lot of levels. We need liberty and freedom restored. We need personal blessing. And there will be change. I think when the family of God flees back to Jesus, there's going to be noticeable change in our culture, and we need it.
That's right. That's right. I want to ask if you'll touch on this too, Alex, to share with our listeners about why it's so critical to address unconfessed sin in our lives as believers.
Well, speaking of Isaiah, in Isaiah 59, it says, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and he will not hear. Now, I believe that when you're born again, you're saved. I believe that the believer is eternally secure. John 10, 28, 29 says nothing can pluck us out of his hand. However, a child of God can get backslidden. You know, Joseph, you don't hear that word a lot anymore, backslidden, sliding away, falling, drifting. And I would say, my dear friend, just like, the gutters get clogged with leaves and, you know, you'll have a mess on your hands. Sometimes our heart gets clogged up with just stuff. And it can be sin. There are things that we do that we know we shouldn't do. And then there are things we should have done that we didn't do. So I would encourage people to get alone with God, get still before God in this noisy, busy, hurry up, get going life. Be quiet and still before God and say, Spirit of God, reveal to me the things that I need to repent from and turn away from. Because the devil, if you're a born-again Christian, you're bound for heaven. Fair enough. But Satan will try to steal your joy, put out your light, get you carnal. And, well, there's a preacher up in Minneapolis, John Piper. He said, too many of us are in the business of sin management rather than repentance. We're not called to be sin managers. We're called to be repenters, aren't we?
That's right. That's right.
And we need the power switched on in our life. Listen, I don't know about you, but 20 times a day, I think, I need to be able to get a hold of heaven.
That's right.
when I pick up the phone and call Jesus, I need to be able to get through. And I don't need anything obstructing that. That's why I say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Keep my heart pure. Keep my eyes on you. And the best thing to keep us tight with Christ is the Scripture. And so let the Spirit of God reveal your blind spots. Let the Spirit of God reveal the things in your life that you need to turn away from. And it's very subtle. We might say, well, gee, I'm not out here doing these things. I'm not running around. I'm not carrying on. But let me ask you this. Is there a family member or a church member that you got some baggage with? Is there some unforgiveness or some bitterness from something way, way, way back, and you've just not quite let it go? Mm. Life's too short, isn't it, brother?
It is.
There's nothing worth causing you to miss God's best.
Mm-hmm.
So let the Spirit of God speak to you, and then you react accordingly.
Amen. Amen. Alex, would you take a moment just to lead in prayer? There might be someone who either recognizes they're not saved or recognizes a need to really address some of the kinds of issues you mentioned. We have about another minute or so, but would you just take a moment just to lead in prayer?
Sure. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your love and care, and we ask that the Holy Spirit of God would fall on this nation. Yes. In John 15 and 16, you said that the Spirit of God would convince the world of sin. So, Lord, right now, if anyone listening needs to be born again, and today is the day that you want them to turn to Christ and be saved, I pray right now, while they have time, they would turn to Jesus and say, Lord, save me. Make me a Christian. But for believers, Lord, the Spirit of God would convince us of our sin, and, Lord, make us so thirsty for the Savior that we would not settle for anything less. So send a great cleansing to your body. And Lord, send a great revival. And Lord, that we would forsake sin, we would embrace Christ, and thoroughly, in every small secret corner of our heart, Christ would fully rule and reign. It's in his name and for his glory we ask these things, dear Lord. Amen.
Amen. And Father, I do thank you and I praise you for every listener. Lord, help us to grow as believers in our knowledge of the need for us to be rooted in your word and filling our hearts and our minds with your word daily. But help us to know that we're to live a lifestyle where we're daily and continually teaching and encouraging others to get into the word, to walk in its wisdom, and to draw on the blessing that we have and can experience as we simply hear your word and live it out. Thank you for that opportunity. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you, Alex, for being with us today.
Thank you, Brother Joseph.
It's always a privilege to have you, a joy to have you. Thank you for being a part of our listening family. Hope that you'll start, if you're not reading the Bible every day, today is a good day to start that habit. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.